Critical hit Punch All Nazis takes place in the early days of World War II and combines high adventure with cosmic horror. All dates, locations, and historical events are thrown out the window in order to create a fun story, so don't put too much thought into historical inaccuracies. All accents are done poorly, but with love, and no disrespect is intended. Last time. We demand a sacrifice.
Shoot at the ghoul that just tried to eat me.
Stick some amount of his new tie into the flask and then light it on fire.
But before any of you can do something, there is a gunshot and the German's head just kind of explodes. The elevator doors close. Clark Gable turns around and looks at the group of you, looks down at Valentino's gun. You know how to use that thing?
More or less.
I tell you what, you boys get me out of here into the airport. I'll get you anywhere you need to go. Deal?
Sounds good.
All right. Now listen, I know these crazy Nazis are after me, and fortunately I've got Jimmy here.
Yeah, that's right, sir. I'm here to help you out.
You boys follow my directions to the letter, and we will be able to get out of here and to safety without a problem. Now, let me describe where we're going to go. My car is parked out back. The elevator doors are going to open. And of course, you guys should know the layout of the hotel. You don't need Clark Gable to explain it to you, but I will explain it to you. So the elevators, there's two of them, side by side. You are on the one that is, I guess if you were to exit out, you are the ones that are farthest to the left. So the elevators are in a little cubicle area to your left, then opens up into the main lobby of the hotel. If you turn left and you're looking into the lobby, you're going to see a little, hallway immediately to your left that goes back to like custodial and to the doorway that leads into the area where the front desk person would be. There's some potted plants there. And then there's the front desk that runs a good 15, 20 feet and curves around and occupies a large corner, the left-hand corner of the lobby. On the right side is a little newsstand. And next to that is a little like a bar area, an internal bar for the hotel. Then as you would be on the far right of that big square that is the lobby would be the entrance. And of course, they've got the nice revolving door and, of course, two entrances for that. In the upper right-hand corner of the lobby would be a seating area, a nice lounge area where people can gather and meet with one another, those kinds of things. Then immediately to the north part of the lobby, or from where you're facing, is a more traditional restaurant where people can come in and sit down. It's the hotel restaurant, but certainly people can come in from off the streets. To the upper left-hand corner, you have like concierge desk, some other knick-knack lounge area, piano, etc. And between the check-in desk and that piano area is another hallway that would then lead you down and to the back part of the hotel. Everyone got a good idea of how that works?
Roughly.
Good rough idea of this. So ideally, you need to go out the elevator, turn left, run past the check-in desk, turn left, and get down that hallway to get out the back door of the hotel.
Wow, such intense description for a place we'll never see again once we say narratively, anyway, we go to the airport.
Well, you do have some problems because on the other side of this door, if you remember, there were two Nazis or two German fellows that were, chiseled chins and blonde hair and blue eyes, both with guns. One of them is currently lying dead at your feet, bleeding out onto the elevator floor. The other one's on the other side of the closed elevator door. And in fact, he reminds you of that when you see two big indentions come at you into the door, just dunk, dunk, because he shot at you from the other side.
Just now he shot at us?
Oh, yeah. The door's closed. He shot at you. He was, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. He's not the Nazis are not the smartest people, Matthew, if you haven't figured that out.
No, these guys seem to be dumb as bags of hammers.
Yeah. So what you're going to have to do, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to get past that Nazi through the lobby and then out the back door. So we're going to do this in a series of successes that you will each describe what you're going to do during each of the setups as I describe them to you. One of you will get to go first and then something will happen and I will tell you, okay, who's going to go next. And until we complete a complete round, you're not allowed to go again. So it's a typical skills challenge kind of thing. Okay. So the first thing that you need to do is deal with the Nazi who's on the other side of this door. Who would like to deal with that?
Well, I'm going to pretty much take a crouching position on one knee and point this machine gun towards the door. And
so one thing that I might remind you, although I should just let you do it and it'll be hysterical. You don't have any bullets for this gun. Remember, you ran out of bullets down in the catacomb.
Yeah.
So consider that your freebie here, Brian, because that would have been somewhat hysterical. And that maybe is me being bad as a GM, not telling you that. So,
I mean, do I feel lacking you're actually my pistol?
Well, that's a question. Did Doc give you back your pistol?
Can we decide right now narratively that we did? Because it seems like the kind of thing that we would have done.
I mean, you seem pretty excited about having two weapons.
And he did have a big machine gun.
If you want to John Woo this thing.
Do I want to John Woo this thing?
I mean, we don't have any doves.
Okay. That idea that he just had. Uh-huh. Doc is going to do that with two pistols instead of one machine gun.
Okay. So what I need you to do is I need you to roll a ranged attack. This is going to be coordination and fighting. Difficulty of two, because this is a tight space. There's a lot of people around. You pull out your describe your actions as the elevator door starts to slowly open and the doves are flying through the lobby and there's rain outside. broken glass all throughout the lobby now.
The wild-eyed look that's generally in Doc's eye settles down for a moment.
Okay.
And for a moment, he looks completely centered.
Great.
And fine. Great. And as the door opens, he fires and fires and fires.
All right. Let us take a moment and talk about something that happened last time on the show. Because when you had the two pistols, you were talking about wanting to dual wield. And so I said at the time, I knew that there was a dual wield feature in the game, but I needed to track it down. And there's not a specific dual wield attack for quote unquote regular players, but there is a character, Renee Dubois, I believe is her name. Dubois is her last name. She is an expert and she does have a dual wield attack. And so I don't feel like dual wielding is something that is specialized that only one person in the entire universe of this game would have. So I'm just taking her special rule and allowing you to use it. So if you look in your cheat sheet section, I already told you a little bit about it the other day, but you can do this when you are dual wielding. And this goes for really anybody who dual wields. You may choose to focus fire on a single foe. If you choose focus fire, you add +2 to the stress inflicted, and you also get an intense effect. It's not a salvo attack. It doesn't consume any ammo. You can, if you don't want to focus fire, you can choose to make two separate attacks in your turn.
Do we have any momentum?
You have one momentum.
Okay. So if I take two separate attacks.
Yep, you have two chances to hit this guy.
And I could theoretically spend a momentum for a difficulty of two and then still have an attack left if that doesn't take him out. Is that correct?
Yep.
Ooh, that sounds like it might be a good way to go.
All right, so the door is opening.
Okay.
And the good thing, the gun in your left hand is the one that's going to have the clear line of sight first. So roll that attack.
I would like to use the momentum, so that would be rolling three dice.
Three dice.
And it would be And it would be my standard scribbitability. Ah,
three successes. So you do get one momentum back.
Good.
And you get a one of the successes you need for this scene.
Cool.
So yes.
Now the
go ahead.
The intense that you said.
Yeah, so that's just an effect on okay. the weapon. It really doesn't do anything, especially since you hit him and okay. he goes down. You can find the effects of weapons in the player's manual. I was just looking, trying to find it as we were talking, because you may want to use it later. It's on page 35. Intense. If the attack inflicts an injury and an effect is rolled, the attack inflicts an additional injury, which in this case, you hit the guy. You succeeded in hitting him right in his throat. He grabs it as he's dropping his gun, and he goes down.
Cool.
Clark Gable Clark Gable looks at you and goes, I like your wild eye, kid. And
I loved you in Mutiny and the Bounty, sir.
Well, that's good to know.
I do my research.
Sure, sure, sure. We'll see how much you've done your research. All right, the elevator doors are open. What are you guys going to do?
I think I'll kind of run out, doing a crouching run ahead to look at basically any intersections and see if there's anyone else incoming.
Sure. So you would need, what are you going to roll for that, Brian?
Insight.
Okay.
And I guess observation.
Sure. Let's do insight and observation. Difficulty 2.
I do have a focus. What's your focus? And sight.
Yeah.
Would give me 2 successes with that.
So what is your, isn't observation 2 only 2?
No, my observation's 5.
Oh, sorry. I'm looking at the wrong column. Yes. Okay. Yeah. 2 successes on that. You step out and sure enough, it looks like over by the piano area, it looks like there's some movement over there.
I'll kind of like signal that way to the rest of the guys.
Okay. Unfortunately, whatever. You kind of have to move that direction to get to it. Are you guys going to surround Clark Gable at all, or are you going to like put him in the back, or where is he positioned?
I feel like he should be in the middle.
Yeah, we'll try to get him into the middle.
Okay, so you're going to surround him. All right, so you start to move down slowly, cautiously through the lobby. As you are passing by the check-in counter, you hear, "Oh, Mr. Gable, checking out so soon?" And you turn and you look and you see the check-in clerk pulling a machine gun out from behind the counter as he gets ready to open fire on you. Who would like to do an action?
I'll go.
Okay.
Go ahead, Rob.
What are you going to do, Rob?
I'm going to try and return fire on the clerk before he has a chance.
Okay. So you're going to have to do a fast action. So this is going to, let's do this in 2 rolls. I'm going to break this into 2 D1 tests for you. The first one is how quick you are to draw the weapon, unless you have a quick draw effect with a talent or anything.
I do not.
Okay. So we probably need to do a coordination and athletics to see how fast you would draw your weapon. Ah, very good. You whip that gun out, you fire.
And then I assume coordination and fighting.
Coordination and fighting. Oh,
son of a crap.
That gun goes wide and the check-in clerk starts to just spray all of you with bullets. Fortunately, he misses most of you, except he clips Clark Gable right along the brow line and he goes down. And Jimmy looks and says, "Oh no, this is not good. I need somebody to help pick up Mr. Gable as we get out of here." So who's the only other person who's left that hasn't gone?
Dutch,
can you please use brawn and athletics to see if you can help carry Mr. Clark Gable through the rest of the lobby?
Sure. Okay. Brawn.
Difficulty 2. Clark Gable's a pretty tall guy.
I'll spend a momentum on that.
All right.
0 Ooh. Successes.
Oh, no, that's not good. 0 successes. You try to get him up under your arm, under your his arm over you. You try to get under his arm, but he's you catch a whiff of his breath, Rodrigo. There's a reason why he was coming in at midnight. He kind of smells of booze pretty bad. And so that's making it a little bit more difficult to carry Clark Gable through the lobby, which is unfortunate because the clerk continues to spray the area that you are all in. Click, 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 click. Top of the round. Who would like to go? At this point, when we hit a top of the round in this instance, I'm going to let any of you decide who you want, who wants to go. So Jimmy is kind of like really struggling to carry Clark Gable on his back.
Would I be closest to the front desk?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Can I try to just like, once it starts clicking, vault over it and club him with the...
Oh, yeah, describe it. Describe it for me, Brian.
Yeah, basically, I just kind of roll over and jump and vault over just with the nuzzle of the rifle in both hands and just try to swing it at his head.
Sure, yeah. That would be a club effect. So that, let me look it up really quick because there is a bat that is in here.
I'm sure I'm terrible at this.
Well, it's, I have to look and see if it is a,
who's good at anything?
I don't think it's going to be a ranged attack. I think it's probably going to be a bat. Let's see. A bat is a melee weapon, so you will need to do a agility and fighting on this.
Agility, you say.
Yeah, agility and fighting to swing the gun at him to try to knock the clerk out.
How
dare you? What's that? No, there's no momentum.
Yep. So agility is.
Yep.
What? All right, that did not. either way, no. Those failed.
it swings and he takes a poke at you and clips your sore arm, your arm that has been badly burned. Take one physical damage.
Okay.
The rest of you can continue to move a little bit towards the other end of the counter, at which point you can see over in the piano bar, a man stands up and is very scared because he's just heard all of this gunshot stuff. And he's just like looking all around and makes a running dive to the restaurant and slides into the door.
Is Clark Gable considered an ally or is he like an NPC? Or?
He's an NPC.
Okay. So I would not necessarily be able to use my medic ability to stabilize him.
Oh, you could. You could definitely do that. Yes. Mm-hmm.
To like, would I be able to wake him up?
You might. Why don't you try it? How are you going to do it? Tell us how you're going to do it, Matthew. Tell us
I'm going to grab the smelling salts and a bandage out of my bag, and I'm going to do it by feel. And I'm literally going to take the bandage, slap it on his forehead, put the smelling salts right to his nose, and I'm going to go, Mr. Gable, all right. Call time is 9 a.m. I
don't know if that's going to work on him, but you definitely need to make a medicine check. So this would be a first aid. So you need to do insight plus medicine, difficulty insight one.
Oh, this is my best skill.
Yeah.
I'm a doctor, as far as you know.
No. Oh.
Hang on.
Well, this was a fun campaign while it lasted.
Here's my question. I accidentally used an extra die.
So tell me, Matthew, so what is your...
Shall I re-roll those?
Nope. Tell me, Matthew, under your medicine, what is your focus in medicine? Tell me all your focuses in medicine.
My foci in medicine are first aid
and
surgery.
Ah, kind of like what you're doing right now. So that five that you have can also serve as a bonus, you know, to getting those successes, but it also increases the complication range. And so even if we throw out the 20 that you rolled, the 19 would still very much be around. And you just hear Gable say, my call time's always at 11.
Well, that's my move.
All right. We have Valentino fighting with the clerk. We've got Jimmy dragging Clark Gable across the floor, somewhat conscious, starting to maybe come around, but because of the complications, not fully alert yet. Anyone want to help out Valentino or Jimmy?
I'll help out Valentino.
Okay.
When basically as Valentino's like wrestling, trying to get the machine gun away with the other guy, The moment the clerk's head pops out from behind the thing, Dutch is going to shoot him.
Oh, okay. So go ahead and do a ranged attack. You're using handguns, so that gives you a bonus into that. Two successes, or you need two successes so you don't accidentally hit Valentino.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and use my last fortune.
Ooh, okay.
So I've got two successes. Let's see if I get anything else.
Okay.
I do.
Nice, very nice. You add one momentum back into the pool. Yeah, you plug the clerk, and he just goes down, and collapses in a heap.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Dutch will be like, all right, snap to it, soldiers. Doc, give him his gun back! And just, like, try to get Bug Eater out the front door so he can start the car.
Well, not out the front door, we're going. Out the back door.
The back door.
Okay. You still need... Oh, man, you still need one more success to get out of this building. And as... Let's see. Who has not gone? Oh, Bug Eater. As you are running down this back hallway, the kitchen door opens, and out comes a Nazi with a butcher knife, blocking your path.
I'm gonna charge him.
Okay.
Like,
you're just gonna run right into, you're just gonna just pick up speed and just go at him full force. All right, agility and fighting.
I'm gonna spend a fortune on this.
Okay.
Look, my agility plus fighting is an 8.
All right. It's better than
mine.
Better than Valentino's.
Yeah, but like, I'm rolling real well today. So,
all right. Well, you've got two successes just from the fortune. You still need to roll one more die to see if you get another success to add to your momentum. And you do. You get two successes. You roll the one. Very good. Yeah, you see this guy step out with this butcher knife. And you just put your head down. You didn't go to college, but you played probably football in high school at back in Nebraska.
No, he went to college before you.
Okay. Okay. Did he play football?
Probably. Definitely. All
right.
Now.
All right. You just put your head down and you just barrel into this guy. And it's just like when you were playing against, who would you play against? This young school, Kansas University.
Kansas, of course.
Yeah, so you're running right in like he's a Kansas University running back, and you tackle this guy, and you just hold on to him tight, and you just keep running and pumping your legs all the way to the back door, at which point, because this is not like a glass back door, it's a solid back door, you just slam him right into that door so hard that he gets knocked out, and you slam him so hard. This is a big guy. You slam him so hard with your powerful leg muscles that you have been trained all through your years on the farm, all through your years in college, and your last year or so in the military. The doors come off their hinges, and both of you go flying out into the back parking lot. Good job.
Nice.
Good job. Except Jimmy comes running down the hallway, still dragging Clark Gable. I'm trying to take care of Mr. Gable, and he throws you the keys. Get the car. You'll know which one it is. And so he throws the keys at you, Bug Eater. I think you can catch them. Yeah, you'll catch them. And you look around, and sure enough, there is a beautiful, beautiful sedan. Highly polished black. It's got curtains on the side. You can tell that this is probably, not only is it a celebrity vehicle, but it's probably got a very powerful engine under the hood.
Oh, boy.
And it may have, you know, because if Clark Gable knows that he is under a kidnapping plot from the horrible Germans, that car probably has a little bit more ruggedness than just a traditional car.
I was hoping you were going to say ejector seats.
No, no, no. I don't know what the status of bulletproof cars was in the day, but this one's going to be very heavy and with thicker paneling.
Right. Eisenhower can be a magician, but we can't have bulletproof cars.
Nope, not at this time period.
Or ejector seats.
Wouldn't be real.
And who said he was a magician? He could be a sorcerer.
Oh, my bad. Oh.
Yeah. He could be a wizard.
You're a wizard.
That's how he knew That's how he addresses himself whenever he goes and sees the vice president. I'm a wizard, Harry. Bug Eater, you catch the keys and you immediately are going to make a dash to the car.
Yeah.
Gunshots start ringing out from above, firing down at you. If you look up, you can see from the balcony two Germans on two separate balconies firing down upon you. Bug Eater is already gone. Were you the last one, Bug Eater, on that round?
I think so.
Okay, top of this round, you need two successes to get everybody into the car.
I'll try to provide cover fire.
Okay, so you're going to return fire to one of the Germans that's up there in the balcony. It's the third floor balcony. It's still, I'll count that as a close range, and I'll give you a D1 on this one.
I might go ahead and spend the momentum anyway.
Okay.
Ooh, three successes.
Three successes. So that brings you back up to three momentum now. Very nice. Describe how you're returning fire onto the German.
The Germans are up on the balcony shooting down, and then they're one of the Germans says to the other in German, keep firing. And first there's like a burst of material that the balcony is made out of, just burst.
Yeah. Metal. Yeah. And then
immediately after that guy just gets like a spray of blood from a second shot. And like one of the guys goes down.
Ah, clunk. Head first right into the pavement. Okay. What does the other German do?
Curses in German.
All right. Jimmy is still struggling to get Clark Gable up. It's almost like he could use some help getting Clark Gable into the car.
All right. I have a question.
Yes.
Can I give a gun to Valentino and help Jimmy rush the actor into the car?
Yeah. Tell me, describe the whole scene and then we'll roll for it.
All right. Doc is going to yell, Valentino, heads up. And he's going to toss him a pistol. And then he's going to sweep down under in like a fireman's carry and carefully as you have described yourself,
Matthew, yeah. I'm not sure you're going to be able to fireman's carry Clark Gable. You're still going to need to assist Jimmy.
A cheesemonger's carry, which is much more careful, and get him into the car using the experience I've had. In the past, getting people out of situations where they're being shot at, because I've clearly done that.
Yeah, cool. Brawn and athletics.
We literally did that like five games ago.
Brawn plus athletics.
Oi. Hang on. Let's see. I should probably use what do I need for successes? Just one or two?
One success.
Brawn plus athletics.
Yep.
I'm gonna need to use a momentum.
Okay.
Okay, let me make sure I have my left and rights correctly. Take a deep breath. Jimmy!
Yes, sir.
One success.
So, grab
his other arm and we get him in the car.
You rush him across the parking lot as Bug Eater starts up the engine. Who's going to open the door? Is it going to be you or Jimmy? Who's closest to the door to open it to get Mr. Gable in?
I'm going to grab the door. Mr. Gable is going to be under my left arm and Jimmy's right.
Right. So as you are pushing Gable in, you hear a kapow and Jimmy's like, ow, and screams really loud. He's been shot in the arm as he tumbles into the car. Fortunately, that one shot, which you guys cannot tell where it came from, was the only shot that's fired. And so the rest of the group, Valentino and Dutch, you can also scramble into the car behind Jimmy. Hopefully you're shoving Jimmy in. Just as, let's see, so who has not gone yet in this round?
I haven't.
Okay. All right.
I haven't.
Okay. So let's do Valentino first. What are you going to do?
See if I can figure out where the shot's coming from.
Okay. So an insight plus what are you going to have to do here? Probably observation again.
I think so. All right.
I'm going to give this a difficulty of two test.
Okay. I'll spend one momentum.
Okay.
Just one success.
Oh, just one success. You cannot tell where it's coming from. But as you are climbing in, you're going to be the last one. Well, you're not the last one climbing into the car. You hear a whistle, you know, from one of the dark alleys. And from it comes another guy dressed identical to Jimmy. And he's carrying a large duffel bag. Oh, wait for me, sir. And this guy that's also dressed just like Jimmy jumps in. He looks at you and says, I'm Timmy. So you got Jimmy and Timmy in the car. Dutch, what are you going to do? Oh, you already, you've already went. So it was Valentino.
I've already
went
this turn.
One.
So, yeah.
So Bug
well,
Eater.
Well, Bug Eater's the last one. Yeah.
Yeah. Bug
everybody's
Eater.
Everybody's in?
Yep. Everybody's in. We are now
we
into
drive.
Part. We are now into part three. Because we are driving, all difficulty rolls are increased by one. Also, the truth for this part is it's extremely foggy. Remember, as you were coming in after midnight, a spooky fog rolled in across the city. And so it's making it very hard to see. So everything adds a plus one to the difficulty in this scene. So you are driving down the street as fast as you can, or driving down the back alley parking lot as fast as you can. And as you get out onto the street, you hear a motorcycle start up. And anybody who wants to look, you can see that there are two fellows in black leather trench coats on the motorcycle. One is driving the motorcycle, the other is in a sidecar, and he also has pulled out a pistol, and they begin chasing you. In the car is a passed out Clark Gable and a shot Jimmy. Who would like to go start this round?
Should I not get my action from
Yeah,
the...
do it. Well, we completed all the, you said we were done with the, everybody was in the car. So that completes this scene. So if you want to start this scene, Rob,
okay,
you can.
You said difficulties are at two now?
It's at three now.
At three now?
Yeah.
Awesome. Look at your drive happens.
Yeah, look at your talents too, because you may have a talent that will work here.
That's why I was verifying what the difficulties were.
Yep.
All right, and there's a motorcycle?
Yeah, there's a motorcycle with a sidecar now chasing behind you. And occasionally you'll hear a pa-ting, pa-ting as the gun fires and bounces off the polished chrome and lacquer of this car.
Take out the motorcycle or go forward, guys?
I think go forward.
Okay.
I would agree.
We're going to spend a momentum on Born to Drive.
Okay.
How much momentum do we have?
You, oh, we don't just have use the last one. You use the last one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so that'll drop the difficulty by one.
Okay, so D2.
Raise the complication by one.
Potentially assist?
In what way?
Since, I mean, I at least have some familiarity here with Paris.
Okay.
Help navigate.
So, sure. Go ahead. So to an assist, you would, what are you going to use to an assist?
That's a good question. I'm kind of feeling like perhaps reason, and would that be engineering with architecture? Or
I wonder if that wouldn't be an academia.
Academia? Okay. Academia.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna, if you're familiar with the area, that's where I would put that from. Okay. Or no, wait. What's the one that's mapping? Is that engineering?
Engineering has architecture. That's kind of why I was wondering.
Oh, okay.
Otherwise, is there another mapping?
Let's see. Let's look here.
I mean, survival has orienteering.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I was looking at cryptography. Mapping. Cryptography under academia.
Cryptography.
Yeah,
yeah. Not cartography.
Nope, not cartography. Nope.
I mean, I got a.
Tell me, convince me.
Cryptography.
I know, that's why I was like, "Don't you have that?" Convince me that architecture helps you in this. In this assist.
I mean, I'd rather go academia if that's an option, but just from. I mean, I was just kind of going by what the focuses underneath the skills were. It's largely based on, you know, city layouts and
knowing knowing what parts of, you know, like it's a little bit too foggy to see the Eiffel Tower or Notre Dame, but you might be able to kind of make out some of the buildings and know which buildings are starting to get newer as you move out towards the edge of the city where an airport might be. You could use that.
Okay.
So you have to roll. You just need one success. Your success can be added then to Bug Eater's success. And he needs two successes.
Insight and engineering? All right. Well, we'll see. Here goes nothing. Hey, one success.
One success. All right, Rob. You can now do your crazy talent.
Mm-hmm.
And you only need one success on this.
Oh, boy.
Nice. Whoa.
That's cool. Four successes.
That's four successes. So,
I see him start to steer towards a street that I know ends in a cul-de-sac and go, no, not there.
All right. So, as you yank on that wheel really hard, Bug Eater, and you go down another street, you see a manhole cover start to open up, and you see a ghoul's head pop out. And it's too late. It looks around. It's too late. It sees the headlights of the car shine in its orangish eyes. You recognize this ghoul.
Hey, Trippy.
Yeah.
Bye, Trippy.
Just as you hit him and his head goes flying off, smacks onto the windshield as you're driving, and just kind of looks at you with this really blank stare before it goes rolling off behind you. The motorcycle swerves. All right. So, Bug Eater, that was your turn. Who would like to go next?
I can try and shoot at the motorcycles.
Okay. All right. So you're going to roll down the window. You're going to lean out.
Yep.
All right.
I'll take a momentum.
Okay. Yeah, this is difficulty two. Good job on that, Rob.
Four successes?
Nice.
Hang on. What's my...
What's your handguns?
Handguns... fighting is two, so no.
Yeah, so you didn't quite get it, but you got four successes on that. You only need two, so that puts your momentum back up to four. You shoot, and you hit the person who is in the sidecar, and he flips and tumbles out. But at the same time, as you fire that last bullet, you hear a click, click in your gun because you're out of bullets.
Okay.
Do you say anything?
Yeah. When the guy goes flying out in German, I will say, "That's for making me leave my new clothes."
Sir, this is Timmy. This is Timmy speaking. Sir, sounds like you're out of bullets.
Yeah, I think that's what that sound means.
He unzips this big like duffel bag that he's been carrying that he jumped into the car with, and inside you can see like clothes, like probably Clark Gable clothes, probably Jimmy and Timmy clothes, but then you also see a lot of ammunition and a couple of guns in there. And he's like, "Here, I think this will work." And he hands you a reload. He looks at Valentino and goes, "Is that your gun, sir?"
It is now.
And he's pointing to your machine gun. "I think I have something in here for that." And he's digging around, and sure enough, he pulls out some bullets and he hands them to you. Here, let me load it up for you. And he takes it and he looks at the gun, and scratched onto the side of the gun, like scratched into the metal, in German, it says Rosebud on it. And Jimmy looks at it for just a moment, or Timmy looks at it for just a moment. "Oh, are you a fan of Citizen Kane?"
Never met the guy.
And at the mention of Citizen Kane, you hear, "Well, Orson. And Clark Gable sits up. "Couldn't stand that movie. Fell asleep. What's going on?"
"A high-speed car chase, sir. You'd love it."
"Oh, are we on our way to the airport? Jimmy, have you given him directions on where we need to go?" "I was just about to, sir. But I'm kind of bleeding." "Oh, okay. You, driver. You want to go southwest. There's a small airfield just on the outskirts of the city. That's where my airplane's at. I'll make sure that they know we're on the way."
Got it.
The motorcycle is still chasing you. There is a bleeding Jimmy. There are two people who haven't gone this round.
I can resolve one of those issues.
All right. Which one are you going to resolve? The motorcycle?
You can resolve two if you just throw out Jimmy.
That's true.
You can't throw out Jimmy. He's a trusted confidant and companion of one Clark Gable.
I have to look up when the CIA was created, so they don't...
Well, it'd be the office of OSI, and it wouldn't be until...
Yeah, No, not and until the 40s.
Right now, I think now it's probably naval intelligence.
Timmy, we don't need a Jimmy.
Oh, no, they come two. As a pair.
Okay, well, I am going to fix up a Jimmy because I'm the only one who can fix up a Jimmy.
Okay.
Looks like we need another Jimmy.
Okay, you're going to have to use some.
We do need another Jimmy.
You're going to have to use some medicine, but again, because the car's driving, you have to take this up to a D2. I know your first aid is a D1, but you'll have to do a D2 on this.
Is this worth using a momentum, do you think, fellers?
Absolutely.
Yes. I'm going to generate momentum up the ass anytime I get to use cars. Ooh, so.
Okay. Well, I'm using medicine, so I could theoretically generate ass momentum as well. Fair. One moment.
Good.
Three successes.
Three successes. Very good. You get one of those momentum.
What is your medicine rating, Matthew?
His medicine, it's first aid, it's five. So, that's a lot. One, two, three, four.
Successes. Both of those twos count for two.
Both of those twos would count for two. So there's five successes.
Five successes. We're going to generate successes.
Yep. Now have six momentum. You are able to open up. Describe the patching skills of Doc as he's patching up Jimmy. And it's chaos in the car, right? I mean, there's the nice thing about this seat, about this car is this is one of those luxury cars where you have a driver's row, which is a bench seat.
Right.
Then immediately on the other side is another bench seat facing backwards. And then in the kind of like the where regular passenger seat would be, that's the facing forwards one. And it's the middle part of that back seat that Clark Gable is sitting in. Jimmy would be sitting to his left and Doc would be sitting to his right.
All right.
And the rest of you are on the other, Timmy is, Timmy.
And we're in a state of quantum uncertainty as far as where anybody else is in the car.
Right.
except for Bug Eater.
Right.
Yep. Well, fortunately, in the back of the little bag that I carry, there is a little bottle of butyl cyanoacrylate. I managed to take out a little bit of stuff.
It's got
some mercurochrome to clear it up. And then the butyl cyanoacrylate is actually what we know today as super glue. It's probably,
I don't think that hasn't been invented yet.
It was invented in 1934.
I don't think so.
Okay, well, I got something like it.
No,
I
think you have
that we used to eat.
I think you can probably stuff some gauze in there and try to get it to stop bleeding.
Fine. I've got some turmeric and a little bit of honey.
There you go.
And I make it into a paste.
You gotta chew that turmeric.
I stick it to his face under a piece of rough cotton that my mother wove.
I think the better would just be used a military grade cotton. You are. So do you rip off his shirt and dive in there and staunch the bleeding, or what are you doing?
Well, I'm not going to rip his shirt because once we get to the airport, he's probably going to want a shirt. Did I see the bag full of shirts?
Yep.
Oh, forget that. I'm going to rip open his shirt. I'm going to rip his shirt because his shirt's already bloody. He's going to need a new shirt. So I'm going to rip his shirt. I'm going to do that Bones McCoy thing where you just literally take the whole thing down. The glue and the paint and the honey and the turmeric and the cider fries.
No, that doesn't look very sanitary, sir.
Actually, it's remarkably sanitary because the turmeric has properties that will heal the wound while the honey is in itself sterile. And
Jimmy
then I seal it in place.
The wound.
Jimmy looks at Timmy and says, I don't think this man's really been to medical school. Yeah, I don't think so either.
I have been to medical school.
As you make a hard turn, Bug Eater, going across the river, you just hear suddenly the fog is really thick over the river. Suddenly hear bells ringing crazily, like just ding dong ding, just ding ding ding, and you can hear that these are the bells of Notre Dame just ringing like crazy. It's middle of the night. Why would anybody be ringing the bells of Notre Dame? But the bells are just ringing like crazy. And as you pass over the bridge, a little hole in the fog opens up just a little bit, and all of the electric streetlights have disappeared. And in their place are gas streetlights, like gas streetlights you would have seen in the 1800s. And you can still hear the bells of Notre Dame just ringing, ring, ring, ring.
Do we still have a motorcycle behind us?
Yeah, you still have a motorcycle behind you.
Who all has gone already? I think Valentino's the only one.
Valentino's the only one that hasn't gone.
Well, I assisted.
Yeah, that doesn't count. That's an assist. That doesn't count as your turn.
Okay. Then, yeah, I'll kind of lean out the window and take some shots at the motorcycle.
Okay.
And we're kind of flush with momentum.
Yeah, this is a D3.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and spend three momentum.
Now, are you going to use your handgun or are you going to use your machine gun?
Because I'm going to use the machine gun.
All right. You're going to just use one momentum?
No, I'm going to use three.
All right.
Was it agility plus fighting?
Yes, for ranged attack, it's coordination plus fighting.
Coordination, that's much better. Well, one better.
Hey, that may be the only thing you need. Oh, one success.
Nope.
One success. You fire that gun, and ouch, your arm hurts. That kickback is really causing your arm to flare up. The car hits a pothole in the cobblestone that has come loose, and you fly back into the car as you hit another kind of wall of fog momentarily. And when you come back out, look, the Notre Dame bells are still ringing and the street lights are back to electric lights. We are now at the top of the round. Who would like to go next? You only need one more success to close out this scene.
Does Mr. Gable need any medical assistance?
No, he looks like he's okay. He kind of rubs his head and kind of laughs it off. He thinks this is kind of funny. He reaches up kind of right in between the two of you who are sitting on the seat opposite of him, because there's kind of like a box in between on the seat. He flips that open and inside is like a radio unit, and he picks it up and he jiggles the little handle. This is Clark. We've run into some trouble at the hotel. We're on our way. Looks at his watch. Looks at Bug Eater. What do you think, son? How many more minutes?
Few. I don't know. What's my best estimate?
Ten minutes. Yeah, 10 minutes. Good eye, son. Yeah, we'll be there in 10 minutes. Have the plane ready to go. Oh, I've got a bunch of people with me too. They're gonna make sure that they've got seats for them. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Stupid Hitler. And then he hangs up the radio device and he's like, this is a lot of fun. But you better step on it. But yeah, he looks fine.
You got it.
He looks fine, Matthew. Okay. All right, Bug Eater, what you going to do?
I'm going to step on it.
All right. You have, are you going to use Born to Drive again?
I'm going to use Born to Drive. Okay. The base difficulty is currently 3 or 2.
Yes. It's back to 3 now.
Okay, there. It has to be 3 before I can use Born to Drive. Right. I'm going to use Born to Drive to drop it down by 2.
Okay.
And then I will use one momentum to get an extra die.
So is that 2 dice that you're using?
3 momentum.
Okay. So you're, yeah. Oh, you're so using 3 momentum. So you're going to
use using 3 momentum.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to have 3 dice and need only 1 success.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, 2 successes. You get 1 momentum.
4
back.
Successes.
4 successes. Oh, yeah, because you've got
my vehicles is 5 and my focus is cars.
There you go.
I am built for a purpose.
There you go.
The purpose is drive.
Yeah, you do. You step on it. At one point, you think you hear some sirens of a police car following you in the fog, but the fog is really thick and it is very hard for anybody to follow you.
That may not be as hard as they're saying, because using Born to Drive increases the complication range.
Oh no. So yes, you hear the you hear the French. Suddenly, you see a red light kind of flashing behind you, and now you have to shake off some police officers. Fortunately, there's a roundabout coming up.
I reach out my hand and grab onto the pole at the center of the roundabout so that we can like whip around.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sure that will work. This is a really big extreme when you're going to have a difficulty of 4 for that.
I'm not actually doing that.
Oh, okay.
Well, come on.
Matthew wanted to shove some honey into some guy's open wound. So,
first of all, not in his open wound, because the open wound is full of turmeric. The honey covers the wound once you close it with turmeric. It's like you people have never been to medical school.
And then you cover it with ants just to be sure. They're going to bite into the skin. I mean, no,
I've been kicked out of the best medical schools.
Dr. Valentino, what would you guys like to do?
Well, I don't want to shoot at les gendarmes, so no. I'm going to... I'll try to keep an eye out, basically, as we come to this roundabout.
Okay. Yeah, look for one of those weird turnoffs that maybe you can lose them in the roundabout. Yeah.
Or like a flower bed or something like that, that we should just be able to like drive over and get back.
Yeah, throw out some dirt and stuff. Yeah, there you go. All right, so that would be an observation plus insight.
Okay. I will spend a momentum.
Okay.
Two successes.
Oh, very nice. Two successes. Yes, you do see a big, nice flower bed that must have been made earlier that day. And you tell Bug Eater to turn into it. Describe what happens, please.
Yeah. So Dutch has like basically was like peek like poking out of the window because he was still looking for the motorcycle. And when he sees the cops, he like pops his head back in and then actually just slaps Bug Eater like in the ear and go like so. He's like right behind Bug Eater, slaps him in the ear on the right side, and then with the other side over his shoulder points and goes, flower bed.
Okay. And so you drive through that, kicking up all sorts of dirt and flowers, creating a shortcut across the roundabout, right? The police, the police, they do follow the rules, right? They know that you're not supposed to do it, but they're also so shocked. Ah, the fleurs! As they stop and scream to look at the mash flower bed, and you see them shaking their fists at you as you guys exit the roundabout and head off to the airport. Congratulations. You guys made it through and got Clark Gable out. You still got a few minutes before you get to the airport. Clark Gable looks around at the group of you and says, hey, nice going, boys. And he kind of waves his little radio phone device, looks like it acts like a regular phone, but it's radio operated. Any of you boys need to make a call before we get to the airport?
Yeah.
Okay. He hands it to you.
I'll reach for it.
Okay. This is just like a regular phone.
Yep. Dutch will dial the, number for, section M.
All right.
Hello. May I direct your call?
I'll say like, hey, try to swing by the farm supply store, but Franklin wanted a turkey.
One moment, sir.
And you hear, prup, 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 prup. Yes, hello, hello, Brigadier, Finnessy speaking.
Hey, Brigadier, Dutch.
Ah, Arbogast, yes, I take it you've made it to Paris?
We have.
Good. Listen. Once you make contact with the researcher at the library, you may be tempted to stay in some of the hotels that are close by. I would advise against staying in the Hotel Red Iron. We got word late this evening that that place is crawling with Nazis. Apparently there's some plot to kidnap American actor Clark Gable or some such nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Way ahead of you there, sir. We actually encountered those and have now joined Clark Gable's security team, and we're heading for the airport. We did make contact with the researcher, and that researcher was very nearly killed by Nazi operatives, and specifically the ones we encountered in Belgium.
Which Nazis in Belgium? Montag and Dienstag. Oh, those two. You can just hear his exasperated voice on the other side of the line. Of course, it's like long distance radio, so it's like,
what did you find out?
The researcher believes that it is in fact Egypt, where one of the keys, is it the keys?
Mm-hmm.
Can be found. So we are going to try to make our way to Cairo. It was outside of Cairo, right? That's what he said.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Far west of Cairo.
Sure.
Okay. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Ah. Very good. Very good. Were you able to pay Mr. Dupree?
We were. I left him a little bit, but he is in peril, as it were. He's now a known associate of ours. So I don't know what you guys can muster, but, and he like looks over at Valentino. I think we would sure appreciate if you were able to either extract him or at least give him some form of security.
And you hear paper shuffling and books falling over. Mrs. Cobblepot or Kettlepot. Mrs. Kettlepot. Oh, sorry. I forgot. Yes, yes. Yes, I will make sure that we have two men. Should that be enough? Two men to go and show up as assistants or long lost friends to keep an eye on him.
Sure.
Is he the only one?
No, there's another one. Hey, Valentino, you remember the name of the other researcher, the one that actually got grabbed?
I can't recall.
Yeah, Halen, Pontus Halen.
Halen.
Yeah, there's also a Halen. He was accidentally grabbed by the Nazis thinking that they were getting our man.
Ah, oh, stupid Nazis.
So you might want to keep an eye on him as well. I don't know if they're ever going to work out that he is in fact not really involved.
Okay, Halen and Dupree. Yes, we'll get a couple of men down there. And how did you find his research skills?
Excellent. We basically left him for a couple of hours, and he managed to crack it. Besides, he's already very familiar with the enlightened ones. He's already familiar with them, and also familiar with some of the beasties that we've ran into. So I would say good. He would be a boon to the
department. Considering Brussels didn't work out, we may look to try to establish headquarters in Paris then. Yes,
that would be interesting. And if you do, you might want to get somebody on this fog.
Fog?
Yeah. It's a weird fog, and he'll just like look around and is like, we did suddenly move to Gaslight and Cobblestone Streets, right? That wasn't just me.
No, oh, yeah. That was definitely not paved.
Okay. Yep. So we may have briefly passed through somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay, somewhere. So Nazis. Weird fog. Any other things that you ran into?
Yes, we ran into, and he looks at everybody else, ghouls?
Ghouls.
Sense what they...
Yes.
I think
and
that's what
how,
they call themselves.
How did you interact with them? Were they cooperative?
No, they were very hostile.
Tell them we mostly lit them on fire.
We had to set a few of them on fire to get out.
Well, we have run into some ghouls before, and they generally tend to be agreeable when you're ready to negotiate with them, but I can understand, especially, were they hungry?
By the time we encountered the ghouls, the Montag and Dienstag had already been dealing with them, so they might have riled them up.
I see. Did anybody get bit?
Bug Eater, you get bit?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bug Eater got bit.
Did I don't it think
break
it broke
the skin?
Much, but...
Did it break the skin?
I don't think so. We haven't had a chance to check.
Okay, that's troubling. Keep an eye on him, Dutch. Let me know the instant you can if he starts acting out of sorts.
All right.
Okay, so where exactly are you now?
We are actually heading to an airfield outside of Paris. I am literally talking to you right now in actor Clark Gable's radio phone machine.
Really? Mm-hmm. Fascinating. And
oh yeah.
Where are you going?
He's getting on a plane and presumably heading back to the good old US of A.
Oh no, we're going to Monaco.
All right. I guess he's going to Monaco. After that, I think we'll try to figure out a good way for us to get to Cairo.
Okay. Yes. And you hear more shuffling of papers and, you know, the pause as he's about to say Mrs. Kettlepot again. And then you hear a big, like, books fall over. One moment. I'm sorry. We haven't really had a chance to unpack everything yet. Hold on. You hear the phone go down. You go, blast, where is that? Where is that? Oh, gosh, damn. I need an assistant as quickly as... Ah, yes. Okay, it's going to take you at least a day or so to fly to Cairo. And you're going out into the desert.
We'll see exactly where we're going. But yes, our destination does seem to be an in fact lost city out in the desert. So how exactly we're going to get there, we haven't quite worked out.
And what's the name of this for this lost city?
It's just called the City of the Dead, I think.
Oh, the Forgotten City, the Dead City.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. This was when I was a boy, I had a chance to meet an explorer by the name of Dr. Jacobs. This would have been,
around 1917.
Yeah, 1920, I believe, is when I met him after the Great War. He was at one of our local adventurers clubs. He gave a speech. I'm familiar with the story. Lost City, something happened in the middle of the night. The city was covered with sand and was never seen again. And the stories he told about the craziness, I just thought it was just quite honestly, I think he just spent too much time in the sun and baked his brain. Anyway, I'm going to make sure that you are properly geared up before you make the trek to this forgotten city. Good luck finding it. Here's a contact. I would like for you to meet Rusty Stowe in Cairo at the Cafe of Kings. He'll know that you're coming, and he should have quite an assortment for you.
All right.
Let's see. We will, what else? We'll get the team to Paris to protect Dupree and the other fellow. Anything else? We did find the body under the rubble. It was indeed a Black Sun agent. The one that you said there was a fight and he was shot. And we have identified him. He is Herman Mittwochville. Looks like the Black Sun is indeed trying to keep their mission of secret from us.
Mm.
Unfortunately, you can tell your doctor friend, we have not been able to find our doctor yet.
Oh, do you think he was taken?
I don't know. There were several people that did die, and we have found some body parts, but I don't know if any of them are the doctor. So right now we are listing him missing in action.
Okay.
You hear a door open and a door close. Yes. The Nazis apparently have been digging around in Egypt for the last decade or so. Mysterious artifacts and such. But so do be careful with that. There's probably a good chance that you're going to run into some.
Yeah, I'd say better than good.
Okay, well, you have certainly had quite the couple of days.
Yeah, I thought I was here to do research.
Yes, well, very good, very good. I will let your superiors know that you're doing an excellent job, and keep up the good work. Is there anything you have for me? Is that what you would like to ask of me?
Anything else? Anything else you want to ask or try to get? If you have a contact who's going to get us maybe... guns and some clean shirts. That's probably all we need.
Yes, I will make sure that you are outfitted for a long desert adventure.
Great. We'll call you once we have made contact.
Very good, very good. Thank you for checking in. Keep up the good work. Good luck.
Thanks.
And he hangs up the phone.
I'll hand it back.
Clark Gable just looks at you and says, just who the hell are you boys?
Actually, we work for Spencer Tracy.
That son of a... Well, I must say that from what I've seen, you guys are very, very good. And you start to pull into an airport, and it is a private airport, and you do see a very shiny plane waiting on the runway. And he's like, come along, we're all going to Monaco. And from there, I can probably get this plane, or at least a plane, to fly you to Cairo.
Great, thank you.
Everybody gets out. The engines on the propeller are already started up. It sounds like you can hear some kind of siren or some engines or cars approaching. They're a long ways off, even through the fog. You can tell that they're a long ways off. But there seems to be a rush to get everybody aboard the plane. So everybody boards.
We rush aboard the plane.
Okay, you all get aboard the plane. This is a very nice private plane of the time. This is not like a passenger plane. Instead of having rows of seats, the sides of the plane are lined with very lush leather couches all the way down, perfectly upholstered. There is a wet bar in the back of the plane. There is, a closed off area that presumably goes back to some kind of a sleeping area. You know, as you board the plane, Jimmy and Tibby both take their seats towards the front of the plane, kind of nodding at each other like, good job, you know, buddy. It's pretty clear that these are brothers. They are not only dressed identically, but they look identical. Gable looks around and spins around and goes, want to make sure that you boys have met Jimmy and Timmy, my loyal assistants and bodyguards, as we go through Europe, avoiding Hitler's crazy, crazy plans. And then from the cockpit area comes a very pretty young woman. She's wearing a nice business suit, blonde hair, and she looks at everyone and looks at Mr. Gable. Mr. Gable, I believe we are ready for takeoff.
Ah, Kimmy. Good, good. Then let's make haste. Let's get to Monaco.
And
I'm sorry, her name is Kimmy?
Her name is Kimmy.
Kimmy and Timmy and Jimmy.
Yep. And my pilot's name is Lemmy. Well, have a seat, gentlemen, and we shall be off. And you all take a seat. The plane taxis down the runway and flies off into the night. You don't get very high up before you break the thick fog bank. And you can see the lights of Paris from below shining through the fog. It's actually quite pretty, in hindsight, through the crazy adventure that you've just been on. But it's like this, like if you put a light or Christmas lights under a sheet or something, you just see this twinkling and beautiful lights as you fly off south towards Monaco. And you realize that it's been exactly 1 week since your adventure began. Critical Hit Punch Hall Nazis is a production of Major Spoilers Entertainment and was produced and edited by me, Steven Schleicher. If you would like to get a behind-the-scenes making of this episode, be sure to check out the GM Roundtable Octoon Cthulhu Edition at our Patreon page, patreon.com/majorspoilers. Each week, I discuss my plans for the upcoming game session, and Dr. Brad Will is there to share his reactions and advice on how to be a better game master. I will warn you, though, there are spoilers galore in every installment of the GM Roundtable Octoon Cthulhu Edition. So, if you don't like spoilers and don't want to know what I am planning next, don't listen to these episodes. Though, I will say, if you do listen, you'll be able to see how and where the players throw a wrench into my plans, and you're also going to have greater insight into the world that's being built into this campaign. This week, we didn't have any named NPCs, so no shoutouts to our associate producers this week, but next week, we'll feature a lot of surprises, and more than a few of our wonderful patrons will become NPCs in this game. You want your name to appear as one of these NPCs in future episodes? All you need to do is become an associate producer at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Don't forget, we want you to record yourself doing your best uncritical hit and send it to us at podcast@majorspoilers.com, and your voice will join the growing chorus of fans just like Brian Brockman did this week. Again, you don't have to be a patron to send in your recording, and we hope you do it soon. Thanks again for listening, and here's hoping all of your dice rolls are critical hits.
This podcast is copyright 2023 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.